What's up, guys? You're watching Kicking It with Keish, and today this is episode 3. We're doing a live broadcast right now on Facebook and Instagram. Yes, Facebook and Instagram. Jesus, I got a lot of gloss on my lips. My bad. Anywho, today's episode is titled Church Drama and Personal Patty Pies. I know that the title seems retarded. You know what? It seems off. Let me explain. Let's just get started with the show. So, as always, we have to start with our quote of the day. And we have two quotes today because I couldn't pick just one. So our first quote is, not going to church because of hypocrites is like not going to the gym because of out-of-shape people. That author is unknown. Our second quote of the day is, the church is a hospital for sinners, not a museum for saints. And that author is Timothy Keller. Now, out of the two, I think my favorite out of the two is the second one. The church is a hospital for sinners and not a museum for saints, because that is exactly what the church is for. The church is there to heal, and hospitals help heal. So, yeah, the church is a hospital for sinners, not a museum for the saints, like a collection of people that act holier than thou. So let's remember what the church is for. Now, today's nerve issue revolves around a random something that gets on my nerves. And that is the fact that I was watching House Hunters the other day. And every time I see this show, it never makes sense how at the beginning, the couple is sitting there and they're like, the husband is like, yeah, I've been paper clips for a living. And then the wife is like, well, I melt crayons as a career, and our house budget is $500,000. And I'm like, first off, I'm not sure how much bending paper clips and melting crayons makes, but it makes no sense that you guys have a house budget of $500,000. How? And that's each and every episode I watch. On my nerves. I hate it. Be realistic. That's why I think it's rigged. Be realistic. Tell me what you really do. What you do? Work at Walmart? Give me something real. That gets on my nerves. Today's snack of the day. Because y'all know I gotta have a snack. I have to be eating on something. I actually think that God made me a juvenile diabetic at the age of 10 so that I can eat snacks in church, because food is really the only way that I pay attention in serious settings. That is so sad. Don't judge me. Judge your grandma's unibrow. But like I said, the snack of the day, and because I was talking about my last episode, I was talking about holiday food in the workplace, and I brought up the patty pie. I went to Walmart, and guess what I found? I found personal patty pies. Now listen, this one's sweet potato. Can y'all see that? You see that? In the light, there's a glare in the camera. If you are listening via the podcast platforms, you can't see it. But if you go on YouTube and watch it, you'll see it. This is a personal patty pie. And I got this from Walmart. And they was like 50 cent. And we about to bust it open and see what it tastes like. The bigger patty pies I've had. Hey, Adonai. Hey, JW. Hey, guys. The bigger patty pie that I had was absolutely, you know, the best thing that you're going to get from Walmart as far as the bakery section. And as I open it here, the crust is nice and flaky. And, you know, it looks all great. It's a lot of light there. Whatever. You see it. There we go. You see it. Let's bust this bad boy into a bite. And let's see what it tastes like. I've been waiting for 2 days to do this episode. It's supposed to be done yesterday, so please forgive the delay. But I've been waiting for 2 days to bust this patty pie open, so I'm so excited. And let's see what it tastes like. It's not bad. Now, let's talk about the purpose of this patty pie. I was deceived at my work lunch gathering for Thanksgiving. And behind a piece of pumpkin pie that I thought was sweet potato pie. Let me tell you about my experience when I walked into Walmart. When I walked into Walmart, there it was on a heavenly, God-sent display in the bakery that was more than likely set up by Jesus himself in a tower of perfectly placed personal patty pies. And when I tell y'all, I was floored, overjoyed. And with more and more Christmas holiday potluck and dinner parties being planned and put together, you need to be prepared with at least 5 small personal patty pies so that you and your friends don't fall short from the glory of God and become sidetracked with these pumpkin pie nonsense. And to all of my colleagues that still let me bite into that piece of pumpkin pie after I asked what it was, you and your cross-eyed grandma might just go to hell for letting me eat that pumpkin pie knowing I wasn't ready for that. So, and don't even message me talking about, Keisha, you gonna send somebody to hell for that. That was ungodly, and you go to hell for ungodly things. I'm not saying you might get sent to hell. I'm just saying it could buy you a ticket to hell. Now, let's jump into our topic, problems in the church. Now, today's topic is for sure touchy, so let's get started. The issues in the church, or in churches today, regardless of what religion or background or thing of that nature, regardless of that, the issues in the church today all have a heavy effect on why church is more avoided today than it was back then. The way judgment is passed on church is now one of the main issues. You are supposed to feel safe with being open when coming to church, because church is where you're supposed to come and find help and refuge. And instead, we've turned the church into this fashion show and a courtroom where the pastor is the judge and the devoted members are the jury. Attendance has had a big effect on how people have been treated by the church as well. So people don't want to come like they used to want to come because of the things like crooked pastors, messy members, and being mistreated by people that claim to be followers of Christ. Nowhere in the Bible did Jesus deny anyone that came to him directly or came to him to hear him in the crowd. So really, what makes pastors these days think that they can, you know, turn someone away from the body of Christ? For example, I'm pretty sure we all seen that clip of the pastor that there was a cross-dressed male in his church, and he called him out first off. Then he sent him like out of the church. Absolutely ridiculous. You know, I'm going to come at you guys. If I'm going to bring you something, I'm going to bring you facts. In the Bible, Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 says, if your brother sins, go and show him his faults in private. Don't call no man out, man or woman. Don't call him out in public, shaming them or, you know, judging them in public. If they have sinned, pull them to the side. Discuss that to the side. How embarrassing and degrading is that for me to come to the house of the Lord and it's obvious I'm, you know, I have an issue if you feel that that's an issue, and for you to be called out by a man that's supposed to be there to help you grow closer to Christ and he calls you out. Like, that defeats the purpose of the church. And more so, you're not supposed to embarrass each other in front of crowds, because that makes people turn from the church. Then they never want to come back again. One reason why the church was established is for the children of God to be able to come and find refuge, help, comfort, and safety. The way we seem to attack each other in church is often not what God intended for the church to be. Not all churches have these issues, though. So don't think I'm telling you to avoid the assembly and not go to church, because that's absolutely not the message I have. Go find a church that's for sure rooted in the word and the heart of God. And there are churches out there that aren't crooked and will love you and meet you wherever you are in life, regardless of where that may be. Another issue in church that people have is paying their tithes. And they're like, I don't want to pay the tithes to the church because they misuse money. Churches misuse money and pastors go and do this, that, and the fifth, blah, 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 blah. The Bible didn't tell you to worry about that. The Bible tells you to bring your 10% to the storehouse. Once you brought your 10% to the storehouse, God sees that you've been faithful to what he asked. What the church does with what you brought to the storehouse is now on their hands. It's not for you to worry. So if you know, now granted, if you know that the church is doing bad things or not doing what they're supposed to do to keep the doors of the church open and making sure, you know, the church is being built up and established well with your tithes and offering or with the tithes and offering period, then, okay, go find a church that does use the tithes and offering for amazing things like sowing into the people of Christ, growing the body of the church and making sure the establishment of the church and the doors stay open and it's in amazing condition. For those people out there that have fallen victim to the churches using their tithes and offering for things other than the growth and investment of the church, don't let that be a reason that you stop giving to the church. Like I said, God, seeing that you gave your 10% to the storehouse genuinely and with a cheerful heart, so you did what God asked you to do. So don't worry too much about how the church misused it. Let God handle that. You get back to the church and don't let what happened in your past keep you from the house of God. So that goes for anybody that's been mistreated by the church. Don't let anything or any church in your past keep you from finding a church home that genuinely feeds your spirit as a child of God. I'm not going to brag, but the church I go to in Fort Worth, Texas is called First St. John Cathedral. And as a member of the church for so many years, I can honestly say that my church has had a great hand in my upbringing and my relationship with Christ. And I pay my tithes. That's the first thing I do when I get my check. Matter of fact, I need to pay my tithes now. Reminder. So, now let's talk to these pastors. To the pastors and preachers out there that aren't righteously leading the people of God, please stop. Stop and reevaluate the reasons why you are preaching God's word. Our number one purpose is to bring people closer to God, not pick and choose who we minister God's word to. You never know who God is going to send your way, and as an assignment or a test of how to handle the situation, you need to make sure everybody that comes in contact with you is being handled genuinely and with the love of Christ, not judgmentally like you. What's the phrase I'm looking for? Don't ever treat anybody that comes to you looking for Christ or that you need to, or a soul you might need to save, don't turn them away because of your personal views or how they may look or the color of their skin or anything of that nature, because that's not what Christ did. There was a woman that was bleeding for what, like 12 years? And when she came to God, she was still bleeding. And God didn't say, "Ugh, you bleeding, get away." Jesus didn't do that. Jesus healed her. Jesus accepted her. He heard what she had to say. He heard her cry. He healed her. So don't turn people away. That's not Christ-like. Get your life together. Realize that as leaders, we have to lead by example. Too many pastors are out here misusing and misguiding people down the wrong path. We can't live alternate lives and try and preach the word of God. Often, we are the only Bibles people get to read. So although we are not perfect, we still have to lead by example because people are watching and we are held at a higher standard. I have in my notes to find a great responsibility quote. So I'm going to say the one that says, "With great power comes great responsibility." If you have a lot of people following you and you have been assigned and called as a minister or a pastor or a preacher, do your due diligence to the kingdom of God and make sure that you lead by example. People are watching you. Hands down, people are watching you. To the Bible beaters out there, because there's especially old saints, there are so many old saints that will beat you with the parts of the Bible that they want to beat you with. Like, for example, when I was younger, what is that verse? That verse that is like, child, honor your mother and father. One of the Ten Commandments is, you know, honor your mother and father and your days will be longer. My parents beat that verse, like, not physically beat, but mentally and spiritually beat that verse into my head over and over again. Honor your mother and father, obey your mother and father, honor your mother and father, obey your mother and father, and your days will be longer. And I'm thinking, okay, honor my mother and father and my days will be longer. So even if they act crazy or they come with nonsense, don't say nothing, Keisha. Just honor your mother and father and your days will be longer. No, they left out the other half of that verse. The other half of that verse says, and parents don't, what is it? Parents don't, like, push your kids on. Like, don't egg your kids on to act out. like, granted, I love my mom, and it's, a lot of parents have done it, but I would, there are some times when me and my mom would get into arguments when I was younger, and she'd press me to, like, press me. What is the word I'm looking for? Why am I lost for words today? Press. What's another word for press? She get on my nerves. How about that? I know we can meet on that level. My mother would get on my nerves. And you are not supposed to just go and, like, nag, nag, nag on your child and expect them to always have that respect for you and always honor you, because you end up pushing people away. So, parents, please stop doing that to your children. And to the Bible beaters, the Bible is not meant to be beaten into people. So, please don't abuse people with the Word of God. Don't abuse the Word of God. Jesus didn't bring people to God by Bible beating them. So you don't need to do that. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that Jesus scared people to follow God, or that he was smacking people with the word and tossing Bibles at people's foreheads. If you find a verse that says so, please email me that verse reference so that I can look it up, because I need to see that. Because I don't think there is one. A lot of people in my generation, I've seen so many people turn away from the church because of fear of being misused and judged and not taken care of and nurtured like the church is supposed to do. Like I've said many times in this short podcast, in order to bring people to Christ, we have to start making sure our churches are not courtrooms. Make sure our members are not jury members. Make sure our pastors aren't judging. Find a church or a church group or a belong group, or, you know, find that spiritual connection of assembly. Because there are pastors out there that are on a personal level with their members, and they make, and that it's their job. Don't be ever be scared to go speak to somebody, a pastor, a preacher, a man of God, woman of God, that has the title of evangelist or pastor, preacher, minister, because they put themselves on that pedestal and in that spotlight to be able to have people come to them when need be. So don't ever be afraid to go speak to the man of God or the woman of God or whoever is in leadership at the church. Now, if they turn you away, then maybe that's not the person you need to be going to talk to. Then you just might need to go look for another church, because that's not one of the jobs of a pastor and a leader of a church, is to be open when his members, when their members need them. So if that's an issue you've come across, please, please, please go find somewhere else to minister that'll grow you in Christ and help you with your walk in Christ and grow you closer to God, because that's what we all need. Now, in conclusion, we have to stop running people away from the church by judging them based off their sins, how they look or act or dress. We can't forget that no sin is greater than the next. And just because the sins in my basket look lighter or heavier than the sins in your basket doesn't make me any better or worse than the next person. And what I mean by that is, and like I told y'all before, I am a very hot person, like a hot preacher. I'm humble, open, and transparent. So I'm being very transparent when I say this. I am not gay. Apparently, not even apparently, in the Bible it speaks of being gay as a sin. I'm not gay. If we had a basket of sins, let's say this is a cup, it had tea in it, my bad. If there was a cup full of sins, and this might be, not even might be, say this pen here is a sin, and the sin of this pen is sex before marriage. That's in my cup. I'm being humble, hot, and transparent. Sex before marriage, that sin is in my cup. That is a sin that the Bible says. Say this little piece of paper is a sin, and that is being a homosexual. I don't have this sin in my cup, but maybe someone else does. Maybe someone else does have that. That's my hot tea. Maybe someone else does have that sin in their cup. And maybe there is another sin called, what's another sin? Why did my sin list just go blank in my head? What's another sin? Somebody help me. Another sin, Because right now I got a pen in my cup. And that's my sex before marriage sin. What's my other sin? Well, my mama said cutting my hair that one time was a sin because the Bible say a woman tears her glory. So when I cut my hair, apparently I sinned. Boom. I sinned. So I got two sins in my cup. This person has one sin in their cup. No sin has weight. And that's the issue that we have in today's society, that we weigh sins. No sin is greater than the other. So they have, if technically they got one sin in their cup, and that's just being a homosexual. And I got two sins. I'm having sex before marriage and I cut my hair. So apparently my cup, I'm the heathen and I'm the preacher. You can't judge somebody by how many sins are in their cup or in their basket. So please stop weighing each other and judging each other off of what their cup of sins or what their basket of sins or life of sins looks like. Because that was one of the main reasons that Jesus died on the cross, was for his blood to wash away our sins. And we wake up every morning with brand new grace and mercy from the Father, which is such a blessing. And we have a chance to write these sins and take these sins out of our cups and start over. So don't judge anybody by what type of sins they have in their cup just because they don't sin like you. Ooh, don't judge anybody just because they don't sin like you. Yep, that's how we're gonna close it. Remember, guys, in conclusion, we gotta stop running people away from the church. So stop all this church drama. I hear a lot of it. I'm not gonna say no names, but I be hearing a lot of church drama. And I stay away from it. So you stay away from it too, and make sure that you aren't a part of that church drama or you aren't causing that church drama. This has been episode 3, titled Church Drama and Personal Patty Pies. Again, you're watching Kicking It with Keish, or you're listening via podcast on all of my podcast platforms, which include Anchor, Apple Podcasts, aka iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Breaker, CastBox, Overcast, Pocket Cast, Radio Public, and Stitcher. So stay tuned, share this live, share this podcast, and I hope you've enjoyed it. Now go subscribe to all of my platforms.